On the show today, we have CUE's very own Jennifer Stungle talking about CUE's State of Credit Union Training and Development for 2020 report that they just released, and some great takeaways here from Jennifer, so check it out. Before we get into our interview, I just want to give you a quick heads up on our CU Knowledge Hub page. It is our page is just loaded with free downloadable content, which includes white papers, webinars, product guides, case studies, industry analysis, and a whole lot more. And it's all provided by experts and vendors within the credit union industry. So go check it out today. That's CU Knowledge Hub. And now on to the interview. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Jennifer Stungle from CUE's. How are you, Jennifer?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you today?
Good to see you. Doing well. Thanks for asking. How are things in the great Northwest, I guess? Or mid-Northwest?
Yeah, cold. Yep, we've officially hit winter. We had our first big snow here in Madison, Wisconsin, over the weekend. So it's officially winter.
Congratulations. Well done on that. Yay. All righty. Well, let's talk about some really fun stuff here. You guys are, we're talking about the CUE State of Credit Union Training and Development for 2020. And just to start things off, can you give us a quick overview on the State of Credit Union Training and Development 2020 report? What is it, and what did you guys find, that type of stuff?
Yeah, so CUE's decided to do some research. We really wanted, we have all these individual conversations with credit unions, and so there's always this moment of, we know what's going on in the industry, but it was really great to actually pull it together and get feedback on the same questions from a variety of different individuals. So we reached out to CEOs, C-suite, HR professionals, and some other managers and directors, and really pulled data apart based on those responses. But the goal was to really understand, where are their barriers? Where are their challenges? What actions do you already have in place? Mm-hmm. So we were able to come away with three big recommendations, some action items, four action items that credit unions can do to really look at their talent development for the coming year. And we did all of this in January of 2020, December 19, January 2020.
I was going to ask you that.
Pre-COVID, which was... You know, the moment COVID started to happen, we just sat there and chuckled to ourselves, because one of the questions that we asked within the report was, what percent of your staff are currently working remotely, and do you see that percentage increasing?
Yeah.
Surprisingly, most credit unions did say they saw the remote work increase, likelihood of remote staff increasing. Probably not to the extent that they actually had happened this year. Yeah. I don't think anyone is going to say 100% in the next 2 months.
Yeah, you're right on that one.
But that whole shift really impacted what credit unions could do with talent development this year, because so many priorities were put on hold, because everything else had to take precedence. We had to figure out how to get staff working remotely to keep them safe, how to be able to put them in the branches to be able to support members safely and effectively. So as all of that shifted and all the priorities took place there, talent development kind of took a little bit of a backseat.
Yeah.
But what's so interesting is throughout the course of the year, having conversations, we're still seeing the same information come up. So the data that we got in January is still very accurate today.
Really? Okay.
Individuals just might not have been able to make as many action steps as they had planned this year.
Yeah.
But the goals are kind of pushing forward into 2021.
Well, I mean, because most of us were living in the, if not all of us, were living in the present. You know, it was really hard to think, you know, a week out, let alone an hour away, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was that, you know, dire, obviously. So it's really cool. But I think it sounds like things are going to start to turn around and get back to come. I mean, it sounds like a really good time to really kind of plan for the future, actually, because I've heard a lot of people saying, you know what, why don't you treat your organization like a startup? You know, let's get a fresh start. Let's see what's working, what's not working, that type of stuff. What did we learn from the pandemic, and how can we apply those lessons, you know, going into 2021? So it sounds like this could be like right in the wheelhouse what you guys are doing, right?
Yes. And so one of the things that I found to be really cool when I was looking through all of the data, one of the actions that we identify within the report, it's actually the second one we have listed, is looking at that replacing the career ladder with a career lattice. And this is conversation that's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea of the lattice is that people don't just move up in an organization anymore.
Right.
And sometimes you have to make lateral moves. Sometimes you move into different departments to really understand the organization as a whole, because it helps you have better knowledge and a wealth of knowledge as you move up then.
Mm-hmm.
But you think of what so many credit unions had to do this summer in redeploying staff to different areas of the organization to be able to support needs. You had staff that were moved into call centers to help support needs. You had staff that became frontline resources to members, either via phone or through drive-throughs or appointment only in branches, but they weren't used to doing that work before. Or you had credit unions that had to redeploy people to support lending because, you know, mortgage and refinancing just blew up over the year. Right. But what you have in that opportunity is the ability for people to be able to understand other areas of the organization they couldn't before. So you experienced this opportunity to create a lattice within the credit union very unintentionally, solely based on need, but it's helped to build relationships, cross-functional training, shadowing of other departments. So you're building out this breadth of knowledge that's going to support long-term, both for the individual staff as well as the credit union.
Yeah, I would think that would be great for your career as well. You know, just to, I mean, if you want to stay in the credit union industry and learn how other departments work or other operations work, 2020 was the time for it. I mean, because like you said, people were in many, many hats for sure. Now, in the report, you also talked about, it refers to four primary action steps. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to, I don't want to steal all your thunder, but you can just mention two of them or something like that, just to kind of give people a taste of what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. So one of them, I'll highlight just a couple. One of them was really focusing on that moving away from the career ladder to career lattice. So, so that was one piece we identified. Okay. Two of the other ones we talked about, again, very, very big this year. One of them was really looking at time and the fact that time is one of the biggest challenges we have within talent development. I work with a lot of credit unions. We do an organizational climate assessment called the Situation Outlook Questionnaire. And a question that we ask within that, so it's really helping to understand the perceptions staff have of their working environment. And one of the open-ended questions is, what's something that hinders your own talent development? By far, time. First and foremost, in almost every single credit union I work with. So seeing that data arrive in this report was not surprising to me. Yeah. Because it's something that's very common. But time is such a valuable resource we have these days, and it's so easy to get bogged down in day-to-day and supporting members or trying to figure out what the strategy is or making sure your team has what they need. But one of the things that's really important is to not look at talent development as an expense, but look at it as an investment. Mm-hmm. And that's all through a formal program. That could be through a a conference that someone attends when we have the joy and ability to be able to see each other face to face in a conference setting again. And for some, it's stretch assignments. So it's helping staff understand and being very intentional by saying, I'm having you work on this project. I'm having you be a part of this team because I think it's going to give you the ability to grow your skills X, Y, and Z, or it's going to really help you leverage a strength that you have that's going to be a support to the team. So making time and making an investment in talent development is really important, and being really intentional about it is there.
Indeed, indeed. And can you share like a couple, maybe you mentioned there's case studies in this report as well. Can you mention maybe one or two of the case, I mean, not the entire thing, obviously, but give us a quick overview of one or two of them that can really illustrate what we're talking about here?
Yeah, so Heartland Credit Union here in Madison, Wisconsin, they have done some career pathing for their staff. And it's designed to help staff understand what some of the opportunities are to be able to develop in the role they're in now, as well as see what the opportunities are for advancement. So that is supporting individual staff and the credit union as a whole. From the making time standpoint, Credit Union West has really worked to integrate talent development into their organization. So they've done it in a few different ways. Mm-hmm. One, by offering talent development resources to all of their staff. Yep. They've done a lot of that through their CUES membership, actually, with using CUES Learning Portal, which is a content creation platform we have that provides all of their staff with these curated content pathways so they can really kind of pick and choose and own their own development. Mm-hmm. But they also have different leadership development programs. They have a new leader development program, and they've got one for senior leaders as well. So they've really tried to integrate talent development and pull people into the process a little bit more, mm-hmm. while still giving people some of that flexibility to say, this is where I have an interest and this is what I want to develop in. So they've tried to balance that a little bit, some of that personalization with your own development.
Yeah. See, I love organizations that do that, that really, mm-hmm. like you use the term invest, they're investing in their employees. And it's a two-way street because then the employees benefit as well because they can move up the career ladder and be that much better of an employee there. So, and it just, it bodes well for the organization as a whole. So I love companies and credit unions in this case that do stuff like that. They're they're successful for a reason.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's see here. So overall, the significance of this information for credit unions, especially over the year that we've had. So what's the importance of this information for credit unions moving forward here?
I look at it from two different ways. One, especially when we look at the challenges, attracting and retaining talent, building that leadership pipeline, having time to develop, knowing that you're not alone, that this is what we're seeing within the industry. And that's not to say that you can step back and go, okay, great, everyone's having this issue, so it's not anything we have to work on. It is something we have to work on, but we can do it together as an industry. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's so interesting nowadays, especially with so many organizations going remote, both from a necessity initially, but then some of them deciding we have the capability to continue to allow this for some of our staff. We as individual hires in an organization have the ability to move so much easier than we ever did before. I can change jobs without leaving my home.
Yeah.
I can work from a company in Madison, Wisconsin. I can work from a company in California as easily these days.
Yeah.
So as employers, we have to recognize that the more we invest in our staff and we provide them with opportunities, whether it be through resources like Credit Union West is doing for both individual development and leadership development, that Heartland Credit Union is doing for career pathing to help people understand where the opportunities are for them and how they can grow and develop. Or, for example, Collins Community Credit Union, who has 5 different mentor opportunities for staff, whether it be through if you're a new hire, if you are a high potential, if you are what they call flash, where you're looking to just gain knowledge on something specific. Offering all of those components are really important to not only engaging your staff, but developing them to support them and also the credit union moving forward. We all learned this year that we have to adjust and grow and develop both individually and as organizations. So understanding that we're not alone, but recognizing where some of these areas of opportunity are for us and really putting that investment in place and making plans, making sure your talent development is not only aligned to your strategy, but it's also a part of your strategy as well.
And in this day and age, because we've talked before about how hard it is to find really good talent out there. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that plenty of times. But gosh, when an organization, a credit union in this instance, invests in their employees like this through the mentorship programs and career planning and all this great stuff. I mean, doesn't that from the employee's perspective go, wow, this credit union really values me. They're really looking out for me. And so therefore that loyalty and that trust will develop and like, I'm going to stick with this organization because they're sticking with me. So from a development standpoint, man, that's huge.
It really is. So I mentioned the Situation Outlook questionnaire earlier, that climate assessment we work with. And I was able to actually use that climate assessment to do a little bit of additional research with the creators of it. And what we identified, we added a talent development dimension. And what we identified that as talent development raises and lowers, the rating within the climate assessment raises and lowers within the organization, so does the dimension that we call challenge and involvement, which is really focused on how connected people are to their day-to-day work, the long-term strategy vision of the organization, which is really that engagement metric.
Right.
So the more you invest in your talent development with your people, the more engaged they are.
Oh, yeah.
The less engaged they are, we usually tend to see talent development drop as well, which means there's not as much of an investment there. Yeah. So it really does go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. And the cost, I mean, I hate to go down a rabbit hole here, but the cost of hiring a new employee and training them is far greater than probably that investment that you're going to make in them for their career path and their mentorship, all that stuff. So it's...
Exactly.
I think it's a great investment, no matter how you look at it. So good stuff for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, the other thing I was going to ask you about the whole COVID thing, but since you guys did this before, but are you guys going to do it again in a kind of a post-COVID study, I guess? And I would be so interested to see that as well as everybody else on planet Earth would be as well. So really looking forward to that information. So have you guys commenced that that processes and procedures to get that information yet? Or
we're working on it. We're working on figuring out when exactly we're going to launch it. The hope is to be able to do it again in 2021. So we've got a little bit of breathing room in between when people kind of started to get their feedback under them. So we can see really the implications of what 2020 did to training and development. But one of the things I love is being able to see year after year comparison data. So anytime there's all those additional research pieces, it's always really nice because you see those adjustments and those shifts. I'll be surprised if we see too many shifts in some of the top challenges that we identified. But if we do, I'm hoping it's for the positive and recognizing the value. So one of the pieces that we recognized is that within the report is that diversity, equity, inclusion mm-hmm. wasn't listed as a top challenge and priority. So, but given the state of the world, I'm really hoping we see that rise up to the top, and we see that as a stronger opportunity, because there's been a lot of growth, not denying that we haven't made strides, but there's still a lot of opportunity for diversity, equity, inclusion within the industry.
I agree. Well, that was such a huge topic this year, and continues to, I mean, the momentum is just, I've never seen anything like it before. I mean, I've been in this industry for over 20 years, and the last few years, especially this year, I've never seen anything like it. So that momentum certainly is there. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see those numbers for sure. Last question for you, Jennifer, where can folks get the report? Can they go check it out, see all the details?
Yeah, so it is available on Qs.org. It's available to Qs members. So if you're not currently a member and you're interested in accessing it, you can definitely feel free to reach out to me, and I'm happy to share some of the insights with you. But it is available and free for our members as a member benefit this year.
Right on. All righty. Anything else to add here to wrap up? Any final words of wisdom on this topic?
No, just really appreciate everyone's participation in the data and in the survey. That's how we get this really great information, but really looking forward to future data and hearing some of the really exciting things that credit unions get to do in 2021, when we can really start having a stronger focus on talent development, hopefully get back to some of those plans we had in 2020 that may have been pushed aside.
Agreed. Yeah. Get back on the treadmill for sure. Alrighty, Jennifer, I'm going to let you get going. You guys just do a fantastic job as always. I always enjoy having you guys on because it's such an education. So I really enjoy it from a selfish standpoint. I learn a whole lot. So thank you for that. And again, you guys just do fantastic work there at Qs, and we're more than happy to support anything you guys do. So good stuff.
Thank you, Mike. Always so great to talk to you.
Oh, likewise. We'll keep up the good work. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too.